Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian. I'm Daniel Messer.
Yes. Okay, show me eyes. Yes. No!
I don't know about you, but sooner or later, I need a photo. As a library web guy, I tend to use a lot of photos. Some are for promoting an event, some might be used to liven up some text. A photo might be for a post on Facebook or an email campaign through Constant Contact. The problem is, you can't just use any photo. Or at least you shouldn't. It's funny, if you think about it, that there's a form of piracy totally overlooked by the music industry, the motion picture industry, the software industry, the publishing industry, and any other industry concerned with the, quote, threat of piracy, unquote. And that is that you can right-click on any image in your web browser and have a copy of it for yourself. Very few people seem to be concerned about this. I mean, sure, there are workarounds and JavaScript to disable right-clicking on a website. The thing is, on any web browser, you can get a screenshot plugin to capture the image on the page. You can also use the built-in screenshot functions in OS X, Windows, and some distros of Linux. Heck, you can go get some really nice free screenshot apps for all the major operating systems. Right-click is disabled? No problem. There are 1,000 other ways to copy that image. Copying an image is easy, but if you want to stay on the right side of ethics and, I suppose, the law, what you need is an image that you're free to use on your library's websites without the fear of a cease and desist showing up on your director's desk. Thankfully, you have incredible free options available to you. This is Cyberpunk Librarian, episode 32. Picture this. My name is Daniel Messer, your friendly neighborhood Cyberpunk Librarian, welcoming you back to the show that is all about exploring the intersection between libraries and technology and living that high-tech, low-budget lifestyle. So hey, my listeners, hello, and welcome. Cyberpunk Librarian is back on the air or on the net or on your podcatcher of choice, and we have some interesting updates to get to before diving into the show. I promise I'll be quick because no one wants to sit through a bunch of boring housekeeping stuff while waiting for the show to start. So hey, I am heading off to the Innovative Users Group, which is also the Polaris Users Group, since Innovative Interfaces Incorporated, sometimes called III, bought Polaris ILS last year. I'm speaking this year, so it's been crazy trying to get things together, make sure my talk is right, pack my bag, figure out what a desert cyberpunk needs in Minneapolis to survive, and all of that. Looking at the weather report, I suspect I'm going to need a parka and mukluks. But if you happen to be a listener heading to the IUG-PUG convention, whatever you'd like to call it, on April 13, 2015, hey, tweet me at Bibrarian, and we could maybe meet up, get some drinks, maybe get some dinner, just say hi, whatever. I would love to see any listeners there. And hey, the feedback on episode 30's story time featuring Skylar and Jessica in Intergalactic Librarian was amazing. So, coming soon from the weirdo that brings you Cyberpunk Librarian will be a new podcast about high adventure in deep space with librarians. Intergalactic Librarian will be its own podcast. Look for that around the end of April or so. The first show will be the same as episode 30 with some edits, but that'll not only serve to kick off the new podcast, because after all, it's nice to begin at the beginning, but it'll make sure that everything's working, all of the feeds are doing okay, and that's fine. Also, there is a new look and feel for the Cyberpunk Librarian website. I'm looking to do some more content with a wider scope, and hopefully the new look will showcase that a bit better. Have a look if you're interested, cyberpunklibrarian.com. And hey, finally, for those of you who do the Facebook thing, dig on the new Cyberpunk Librarian page on Facebook. I just created it, so we're kind of just getting started there. But facebook.com/cyberpunklibrarian, you'll find updates, new content, and all kinds of stuff there. Check it out, friends and listeners. So, okay, housekeeping is over. See, I told you I would keep it short. Now then, we are going to talk about pictures and putting pictures on the web. And specifically, we're going to talk about putting pictures on your library websites and social media presences and all of that. Because while you might use any image that you like on your personal Tumblr or blog, there are reasons you probably shouldn't do that with the library's web presences. After all, it's piracy, and piracy is bad, okay? It's freebooting another's work and not giving them the credit. Unless the image specifically says it's free to use, always assume that it's not. Second, it just looks bad for the library, you know? We're supposed to be protecting and distributing content, not ripping it off for our own websites. And while some collection development folks might bristle at this, your websites are part of your collection. Just like your collection, your databases, your magazines, your public computers, these are all services you offer to your patrons. You wouldn't just pop down to B&N and shoplift a book because a patron needed it. Or I hope you wouldn't. Now, if you would, you actually do have a sort of dedication that I admire, and we might discuss that in a later show. However, your administrative folks probably won't think too highly of that idea. So instead, you typically purchase the item legally and add it to your collection properly. So let's do that thing that we sometimes do and break this show into two parts. For the first part, let's look at image selection itself. What do you use? Why do you use it? What picture should you pick and why? The second part, well, let's look at where you can get those images and stay free and clear of the ethical side of your organization and the law. Seriously, getting a cease and desist for a JPEG is kind of lame. Right? Right. So hold on tight as we delve into the hows and whys of image selection. If you deal with events and event promotions in any way, if you've ever had to print a flyer for a program or a movie night at the library, you know you need an image for that. Maybe you need something to post to the branch Facebook and the performer, to their credit, provided some pictures. However, when you have a look at the pictures, you find out they're all horrible. Seriously, there are presenters and performers out there who do amazing things, and yet they have people photograph them for publicity purposes using an iPhone 3G or a potato. If you happen to be a performer who works at libraries occasionally and you happen to be listening to the show, then hello, hi. Let me give you a quick word of advice. If your headshot looks more like a boom headshot, then go get someone to take some professional stills of you, okay? Beyond that, what if you just need a picture of a thing that works with the event? This happens to me all the time. There's an event on, say, going to Europe on a budget. Do I want a picture of the presenter? Well, maybe. But what else could I use? I don't know. Maybe a really beautiful picture of someplace in Europe? Unless the presenter looks kind of like George Clooney, a picture of a more or less random person just isn't going to draw the same attention as, say, a lovely picture of the Eiffel Tower. What I'm saying is if the image sells your event, your flyer, your poster, your whatever, it'll sell that better than your text probably will. People respond to the image first, and then they might read the text. So a little creativity and connectivity will take you a long way. For instance, a while back there was a yoga event at one of the branches. The branch manager requested a slide for the big screen monitors that we use for digital signage and events in each branch, and she wanted to make sure that people noticed that the time for the event had changed. Fine. Now, I knew they had pictures from the yoga events at that branch. There was nothing wrong with those pictures. They just weren't all that eye-catching because they were, as you might expect, images of people doing yoga in a room. Yeah. So looking at the event and needing to call attention to it, I decided to use a better image. I needed something attention-grabbing, with bright colors and perhaps a little drama. And after a minute or so of searching, I had it. It was an image of a woman in the warrior pose standing atop a large rock in the desert with a brilliant blue sky behind her. In other words, it was perfect for calling attention to a yoga event in a desert library. Take that image, couple it with some bright colored font splashed over it, and there you go. That got the attention, and it looked pretty good too. In this case, the text was almost secondary. I say almost because obviously the text told the story. Think of the image you select as the cover of the book. It's just that you're writing a very short book. There are a lot of old adages that are actually pretty much wrong. Anyone with a fruit fly problem will tell you that you actually catch far more flies with vinegar than you do with honey. Likewise, every day, millions of people totally judge books by their covers. Your image is your cover, so select one that connects to and really shows off your message. Consider the theme, the message, and if you have to pick one picture for that, well, make your pick and choose wisely. Okay, now that we know what to look for, we have to know how to look for it. Obviously, we want amazing images that fit the library's budget and that we can use again if need be. Now, before you all start jumping on me about all the stock photo sites out there, places like iStockPhoto, Pond5, or Shutterstock, let me go back to that quick fit the library's budget thing I just mentioned. I've used iStock and I've used Shutterstock, and they're great. But they are also the opposite of inexpensive. You get what you pay for with these services, and if you can wrangle out a subscription to one of them, that's awesome. You won't regret it, and you'll have access to plenty of images that make it much easier to get a great photo for anything you need. But what if you can't wrangle that subscription? Well, that's why we're here, my friends. Oh, before we go on, let me point out that all the things I'm about to talk about will be linked in the show notes at the newly revamped cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Let's talk about free, open source, public domain, and Creative Commons images that you can use however you like. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Dan, if they're free, they're probably crap. If that's not you, then great. But if that is you, then shame on you. In the digital world, there are plenty of free things that aren't crap. Wikipedia isn't crap, neither is Linux, nor is LibreOffice or WordPress and so on. Have you paid anything for Google recently? No? Ad-generated revenue aside, Google is free to use. So is Twitter, Facebook, and the Internet Archive. Free does not equal bad. Free equals free, and you need to remember that, yes, there are times that you get what you paid for with free. There are also wonderful things in this world. So I'm not going to steer you towards lousy images. Let me prove it to you. And let me introduce you to Pixabay. Of all the free public domain image sites on the web, Pixabay is the best in my opinion. They have beautiful images that are free and in the public domain. They've got a great search feature, along with the ability to find more images like the ones you just found via tagging and suggestions. Oh, and these images? They are high res, high quality, and big. You can download them in several sizes, but seriously, just get the big one. It's always easier to resize down than it is up. And the big images are typically over 3,000 pixels wide. Did I mention they're gorgeous? Because they are incredible. Oh, and not only that, they have photos, vector graphics, illustrations, and yes, of course, you can search by type. If you take nothing else from this episode, if you do nothing else that I talk about in this episode, go to Pixabay. Do that. If you're an image junkie like me, you're going to fall in love. It is, after all, where I found that yoga image I mentioned earlier, which I'll go ahead and link in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Now, you can pay for the images on Pixabay if you like. You'll be buying coffee for the photographer, as all of Pixabay's content is user-generated. Me, I intend to get some images up there soon, too. I want to tidy them up. There's a couple of them that could use a little color correction and straightening. So watch the website and Facebook. I'll let you know when I upload them. And they'll be free for you to use as well. Now then, let's get into the realm of Creative Commons, because Creative Commons is awesome. With a Creative Commons image, you'll need to give proper credit to the photographer or artist, but that can be done in 100 ways. You could pop a small credit on the image, offer a link, credit them on the bottom of the poster. Whatever, just give that credit where the credit is due. So, let's move on to Albumarium. Man, Albumarium is pretty. The site is pretty and the images are pretty. Albumarium uses albums to give you a selection of images. That's kind of where they get the name. So when you search for something, you might not get exactly what you want, but you'll be offered albums that contain the things that you want. I just did a search for urban over there, and I was offered images of railroads and graffiti in two different albums. Well, that's not quite what I was after, so I really wanted pictures of cities. So I tried that. I searched for cities, and bingo, got some beautiful images of cities all over the world. As a side note, the images of Tokyo at night are incredibly cyberpunk in nature. Check those out, even if you don't need them for anything. They're just simply gorgeous to look at. Each picture is high quality with a download link, as well as a link to a Flickr or similar account. There will be information about the type of Creative Commons license the picture uses, and once again, give that credit where that credit is due. And finally, let's look at CompFight. CompFight is a well-designed interface to search Flickr for images within Creative Commons. If you've ever used the interface on iStock Photo or Shutterstock, CompFight's UI is going to look pretty familiar. Do your search and you're presented with a grid of images that match your criteria via keywords and tagging on Flickr. Of the three services, I think CompFight is the weakest, but that's also like saying that Batman isn't as strong as Wonder Woman. Batman isn't weak, and neither is CompFight. It's a perfect complement to Pixabay and Albumarium. Each supplements the other, and they sort of complement each other's abilities. So next time you're looking for an image, don't just rely on Google or Bing image search. Go get yourself some wonderful public domain or Creative Commons images that you can use over and over. And if I haven't driven this point home enough, give the credit where that credit is due. And that about wraps up another episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I was dead serious. If you do nothing else from this show, go check out Pixabay. They've got beautiful images that you can use for library use, for events, for online purposes, whatever. Beautiful site, and I love it. I think you will too. And check out the others. They're all really good. I wouldn't have recommended them if I didn't actually use them on a daily basis and if I didn't personally like them. The song you're currently digging on is Warm Steel by General Fuzz. Earlier in the show, you heard Faraday by Dustmotes, Killing Bosses by Gumball, and Myth by 505. I will have links to those songs, as well as all kinds of other good links, in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. So head on over there, and if you heard something here that interested you, you can probably check it out there. I'll have some easy-to-find links to just get to them without a whole bunch of clicking around through Google and all of that stuff. Cyberpunk Librarian is hosted by the Internet Archive at archive.org. Great people doing great things, preserving and saving all kinds of stuff on the internet and even off the internet in some ways, because they've got a huge video game archive. Play games right there in your browser, download them for an emulation on your computer. Awesome stuff, along with other great podcasts, the Prelinger Video Archives. Good stuff over there. Check them out, archive.org, and I thank them for hosting my podcast and a whole bunch of other great content. If you'd like to contact me, or you have an idea for a show or a question or something you'd like me to talk about, I totally encourage you to do so. You can hit me up on the Twitters. I am at Bibrarian. That's B-I-B-R-A-R-I-A-N. It's like librarian, but with a B. You can also hit me up on plus.google.com/plusDanielMesser. Google Plus, they say it's a ghost town, but I get a lot of interaction there, so it's the most lively ghost town I've ever seen. So google.com/plusDanielMesser, you can pick me up over there as well. And if you want to use the old-fashioned email method of dropping me a line, that's fine with me. I am cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. Go ahead and drop me a line, and hey, I would love to hear from you. So I'm going to get out of here. If you happen to be going to the Innovative Users Group, the Polaris Users Group, whatever, drop me a line, you know, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know. I would love to meet you and say hi and say thank you for listening to the show. And I thank you for listening to this particular episode of the show. Cyberpunk Librarian is brought to you every 2 weeks, so we'll be back again sort of the Monday after next or so. And we'll have a whole new show with whole new content. So before I get out of here, just have to remind you, as always, that you don't have to be high tech to be low budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care out there.
Stand on sprint.